In the morning here on Upfront, I'm Kat Brooks.
And I'm Brian Edwards Tiger. Yesterday, the Trump administration rolled out sweeping rule changes that would impact implementation of the Endangered Species Act in a pretty drastic way. It would make it easier to remove species from the list of endangered species that triggers automatic protections, to weaken the protections that are associated with being on the threatened list. They would bar considering climate change as a consideration when determining whether or not a species is threatened or endangered. And they would, for the very first time, allow the government to factor in the economic impact of protecting a species. Now, this is widely being described as a move that would open up many more public lands that had been protected habitat under the former application of the Endangered Species Act to exploitation, specifically extraction of natural resources. We're joined over Skype by Noah Greenwald. He's Endangered Species Director with the Center for Biological Diversity. Good morning.
Good morning.
So first of all, why don't you walk us through what the actual impacts would be if the rules go into effect as currently noticed?
Yeah, you provided a good broad outline. You know, essentially there's three rules. One of them would strip protections from species listed as threatened rather than endangered going forward. Another one would change the way that species are listed as threatened or endangered, allowing consideration of economic factors, as well as changing the way that they get critical habitat, protected critical habitat designated, and allowing for exclusion of critical habitat for species that are threatened by climate change. And a third would change how federal agencies work to avoid impacts to endangered species, and in particular, allowing small projects that destroy endangered species habitat to go forward in scenarios that we call death by a thousand cuts.
So, like, who wanted this? Who was pushing for it from the Trump administration?
Well, so it's the Secretary of Interior is a man named David Bernhardt. He was the top lawyer at the Department of Interior.
It sounds like we may have just dropped our connection to Noah Greenwald at the Center for Biological Diversity. And also sounds like he's trying to reconnect to us. So you're tuned to Upfront on KPFA. It is 7:37 in the morning. What we're discussing is sweeping changes the Trump administration just announced to rules it uses to implement the Endangered Species Act, specifically making it easier to pull species off the two lists that trigger protections and changing the factors that go into determination, discussing climate change is now verboten. Economic considerations for the first time can go into the decision as to whether or not to create a protection. Noah Greenwald, you were telling us about the Interior Secretary.
Yeah, a man named David Bernhardt. I was just starting to say he was, you know, the top lawyer under the Bush administration at Department of Interior. During the intervening years, he was an oil and gas lobbyist, a lobbyist for Big Ag as well. And he's now Secretary of Interior. So these changes are, you know, very much being pushed by the oil and gas industry and by Big Ag and by other industries that see the protecting endangered species as something that threatens their short-term profits.
How much land does it put in play to make this kind of rule changes?
You know, it's hard to answer that question specifically, but certainly, thousands, maybe even tens of thousands of acres across the country that, you know, would see protection. So, for example, the administration weakened protections for a species called the American burying beetle. In the past year, they downlisted it from endangered to threatened, even though it's still very, very endangered. And they put in place exemptions for the oil and gas industry, specifically in Oklahoma. Oil and gas drillers who are developing in the Permian Basin in Oklahoma, they need not worry about the American burying beetle. So there weren't large areas that were being protected for the beetle in Oklahoma, but there were important protections being put in place, you know. So if the beetle was found in an area where drillers wanted to drill, You know, they would have to do mitigation. You know, they would have to contribute to a habitat bank. You know, so there were little bits getting protected here and there. And that's typically what happens. I mean, endangered species are endangered, so they don't occur in that many places. And generally protecting them requires very reasonable restrictions and mitigation and minimization. And
Skype is not being our friend this morning on Upfront.
Yeah, so let's try to get him on the phone. Yeah, that's the voice of Noah Greenwald. He's the Endangered Species Director with the Center for Biological Diversity. And we've got a few minutes left to talk about these changes. I should point out four environmental groups that have been charging logging, extractive activity, and developments pushing into wildlands. The Endangered Species Act has probably been the single most powerful tool for slamming on the brakes, even when activities are planned on private land, if the land can plausibly be, declared habitat for an endangered species. This has been a huge beef of everyone who wants to make money, you know, not just that it could possibly bring their projects grinding to a halt, but that it slows them down, makes them hire, you know, conservation scientists to make their argument or figure out what kind of mitigations they have to make. And if you're someone digging a hole in the ground that only pencils out when oil's up at $80 a barrel and you're worried it won't be there by the time you finish creating some mitigating habitat for a beetle, that's a big deal. Noah Greenwald, sounds like we got you back.
Yeah, here I am.
So I want to talk for a minute about what might happen between now and when these new rules would go into effect, because they were just publicly noticed yesterday. First of all, any prospect of Congress reversing it using the Congressional Review Act?
I think certainly after the election, that's one possibility, and that's actually what happened to similar rules that were passed under the Bush administration when we had a changed administration and a new Congress. They reversed those rules through legislation. And so we certainly hope that'll happen. We, as well as several states, including California, plan to challenge these rules in court. And so hopefully we'll get an injunction and stop these rules from ever going into place.
And what would be the basis you'd go into court on, that the rules aren't consistent with the legislative intent of the statute?
Yeah, there's a couple things we would go in on. I mean, one thing is that, you know, they didn't do any review under the National Environmental Policy Act. They used a categorical exclusion. So there's also that problem. But also these rules very much are inconsistent with the statute. For example, you know, allowing economic factors to be considered as part of a decision to protect the species or not is entirely inconsistent with what Congress has said. You know, Congress in 1982 specifically excluded consideration of economic factors when deciding whether to protect a species as threatened or endangered. And, you know, it's somewhat of a no-brainer. It's a scientific question. Is the species at risk of extinction or not? And Congress made clear that if it is at risk of extinction, then it has to be protected. And economic factors don't enter into that scientific question.
Noah Greenwald, we were talking a minute ago about who stands to benefit from weakening of the Endangered Species Act. And I'm curious about, you know, the breakdown between business interests that stand to make a buck and just anti-government ideologues who don't like the government getting up in business's business as a matter of principle. Do you have any read from outside the Trump administration?
Well, I think those two things are hard to separate. I mean, I think a lot of the anti-government sentiment has been fomented by business interests, by the Koch brothers, for example. You know, they've you know, tried to rile up those feelings and project an anti-government attitude among the public. But, you know, for the most part, you know, strong majorities of the American public, including majorities of Republicans, support protections for endangered species and support the Endangered Species Act. So from my perspective, these changes are very much being driven by narrow economic interests, and in particular, the fossil fuel industry.
All right. No, Greenwald, thanks for sticking with us and bearing with us through those technical problems.
Yeah, thanks. Sorry about that. I wish that it didn't work out better, but I'm glad we were able to join through the phone.
Noah Greenwald's the Endangered Species Director with the Center for Biological Diversity. That takes us to 7:45 in the morning. This is Upfront. My name is Brian Edwards-Tiegert.
And I'm Kat Brooks.